right, good. Well, I don't guess I have to tell y'all what things cost anymore. You know, before we get ready to buy something, we get ready to buy anything, we want to make sure we got the right amount of money or whatever to pay for it, right? And we want to make sure that it's going to be worth what we put into it. And especially this day and time, the way things are, the cost of everything is going up and really getting out there. But I want to talk about what salvation has cost. But I really want to talk about, to start with, and I gave you the printout there, so we're going to kind of go along each scripture, one, two, on down, so you can kind of read with me if you want. But we know it cost God. Well, let's read 1 Peter first. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 said that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now we know what it costs God for our salvation. But, you know, let me ask y'all something. Before you say you're going to go out and buy a home, and you look at that home and you decide that I'm going to buy that, I like that, I really think that'll work for me. So I start pumping my money into it, my effort into it to buy that particular place. And I love it so much because it just fits for me. It works. And I like it. But let me ask you something. Would you do that if you knew ahead of time that you're going to buy this house, it's beautiful, you put a lot of money in it, and 2 weeks later it's going to burn down? And you knew that already. Would you buy it? No. We say, I'm not going to buy that if I'm going to put all this effort into it, money into it, and it's going to burn down. What? That don't even make sense. Or let me do it this way. Let's say you found the perfect mate and you wanted to really get to know her or him, and you worked hard on that relationship, and finally you come to a place and you get married, and you put a lot of money into your wedding, and you're just excited. You got this great big wedding plan, and finally you get the wedding behind you, and things are going well. But would you do that if you knew that your mate was going to walk away in a couple months with somebody else? That would be, we just can't think that kind of logic, right? But you know, that's what God did. He knew before he even created this world that it was going to fall. He knew the effort he's going to put into it to save mankind that hadn't even been created yet, that man is going to fall. Sin. Oh, yeah. And you think, Lord, I don't think I would even done it. I'd have looked ahead and said, wait a minute, I already know this is going to be a disaster. So why would I do this? But you see, God, looking ahead, he saw that mankind would be worth it for him to invest into our salvation. To put his efforts, God said, I'll send my son. And Jesus said, I'll go. Because what I create is going to be worth it in time, I'm going to take care of the problem. So anyway, I just want us to get us to see, yes, it costs God a great deal for him to save us. But he'd already planned ahead that it'd be worth him going through everything that he went through and still going through to give us our salvation. And you know, otherwise he wouldn't have made an effort to put anything into it. It would have been easier for him to just forget about it. But he didn't. He didn't. The second thing I want to look at is, what did it cost the apostles? What did it cost them? You know, when they started walking with Christ, when he came, when they started walking with him, I'm going to move this over. When they started walking with him, things looked pretty good. They believed he was the Messiah, and he was going around doing all these miracles and just doing magnificent things, you know, things that would stir their interest, and you know, things were going good, and they were excited, involved. But he said these words in John 16:33. Eventually he says this, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. But in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." See, these apostles was following Christ and was all excited. And the first thing you know, it wasn't too long, what, 3.5 years? They had him hanging on a tree. Now how do they feel? Their hope, their excitement, things that they were, that was going on in their walk with him while he was living, but now he's dead. Y'all know the story. And they begin to feel, what now? What are we doing? What's happening? But was it going to be worth them continue to invest their life into this? To put their effort into this now that he's dead, and we saw him die, and they put him in a tomb. Now what? I don't know if I want to invest in this any longer. But something changed. He raised from the dead. And when he raised from the dead, changed everything. Changed everything for them. They may not wanted to feel as much tribulation before he was there on the cross, but now they're going to feel it. But you know what? It didn't matter to them. They was willing. They was willing to invest their life into this. The cost was going to be high, but it would be worth it. So they begin to walk and preach. 3.5 years after that, though, guess what happened? They started feeling this persecution. We know the story. Stephen was being stoned. Kill him. And guess who was there with him? Old Paul. Kill him. Kill him. Boys, kill him. I'm holding the coach. Kill him. They started feeling that pressure. They started feeling that tribulation that was hit. Jesus told them it was coming. But you know what? The church grew. Why? Because they knew. They knew it was worth everything that they were going to put into it. All of their strength and all their heart and all their faith, it was going to be worth it. And the first apostle to die was James. Lost his head. See, they begin to feel what it would cost them to walk this walk. I don't know where people get the idea that Christianity is hoopla, all good. That ain't the Bible I'm reading. Are we willing? Are we willing? Well, let's move on. Let's move on. In Luke 14, 27, 28 here it says, and whosoever, who are the whosoevers? That's us. Now listen to what it says. The whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now wait a minute. Hold up. A cross. What does that mean? Oh, I got it. A cross is a place of sacrifice. Pick up your cross. You know, in Romans 12:1, I don't have it in that paper there, but in Romans 12:1 says, for us to present what? Ourselves as a dead sacrifice? A living sacrifice. He's talking to us. We are to be living sacrifices for God. Well, wait a minute. What have you sacrificed for God lately? I'm talking to me, so what have I sacrificed for God? Anything? But I can't be a disciple unless I have the mindset of presenting myself a living sacrifice. And then he went on to say in verse 28, he said, for which of you intended to build a tower? Does not sit down first and count the cost. See, it's a cost in it. Calvin already mentioned this morning. It's a cost. Count the cost, because it's going to cost you to follow Christ. Got Jesus ask us, have you counted the cost? Whether he has enough to finish. Do we have enough to finish? Well, I'll tell you one thing I've seen. Many don't finish. They haven't counted the cost, evidently. Maybe the cost got too high. Maybe they have to give up too much. The cost just got too high to follow Christ. You know, some people don't, it don't take much. I know somebody that gave up their, what? Gave up for a bowl of soup. Esau. He was a good hunter. Oh, Esau was a big hunter, boy. And he came in from hunting one day, and he was so hungry, and his little brother over there stirring a pot of soup. Y'all know the story. Esau said, hey, bro, can I get a little bite of that soup? Oh, yeah. Give me your birthright. I can give you a big bowl. He said, I want a bowl of soup. I don't care about the birthright. That's what he did. He sold out. People sell out for little or nothing. They do. Might be a person that they sell out for. Might be money they sell out. Who knows? Anything. People sell out God for about anything. You name it, it's out there. But then you got those who just don't care. They don't think it's worth the cost to get involved. It's too much involved. If I get involved with the church, I get involved with Christ, I get involved with this religious stuff, it's just too much. That's what Acts 13:46 is saying to us. When Paul and Barnabas, they grew bold and said to these Jews who wouldn't accept Christ, he said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it, judge yourself unworthy for everlasting life. He said, behold, we'll turn and go to Gentiles. Paul said, I'm not going to waste my time anymore on these people. I've talked to them, I've tried to get them, and they're not interested. They don't want to invest in this God thing. Many don't. Many never will. Too many are in love with the world too much. And they won't reach out there and even test what God has to offer. They just don't need God. Most of the Jews were like that. They had no interest to even get involved. Now, I don't know if we thought about it in this light. Do y'all think it cost anything for us as Christians? Do we owe the Holy Spirit anything? Let me read this, Romans 8:12-14. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. You know you're in debt to the Holy Spirit. Think about this a minute. The Holy Spirit of God. Now, we know Jesus came down here and done his part. He died on that cross, and he gave himself for it, and he said, I surrender my life for these people. God said I had to send him, and you don't think it hurt God the Father when he sent his son here? It pleased him to do it, but it hurt him, I'm sure. Would it hurt? You had to kill your son for somebody? But we don't think about the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit have to give up? He came down here. He did. He was sent, but he came to take up residence in us, to live in us. Man, he's got to live in us and put up with us. Jesus, I'm not taking away from this, but Jesus is going back to heaven, but the Holy Spirit's still here. And he has to put up with us daily. With our deeds, with all that we do or don't do. And, you know, it's something that we are told to do, and that was mentioned this morning too. We're to surrender our natural life, the physical life, to surrender it over to the Holy Spirit. Give him our life so he can direct our path, so he can tell us how to live and where to go and how not to go. And believe it or not, sometimes he gets grieved. We grieve him. It hurts him. It gets into his I don't know how to say it. Let me say this about the Holy Spirit. I understand one thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a wind. It's not something that we can't identify with. The Holy Spirit is a person. God himself living in us through the Holy Spirit. And when we do things that hurt him, it grieves him. It hurts him. And in Ephesians 4:30 here, the next verse says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How do we do that? How do we do that? When he went on to say, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Hey, wait a minute now. Is the cost getting too high? And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God forgave you in Christ. I'm talking about what this is what the Holy Spirit's desire is. How we live, how we surrender ourselves over to the Holy Spirit of God who lives in us, and He has to walk with us daily. And let me say this. You know, in Ephesians it says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that really mean? Well, that goes into a lot. I can say a lot about that. But here's one thing I want us to understand. You ever seen a drunk? I know you have. Been there myself a few times. So you drink that wine and you go like this. I'm going down the road. I'll be back in a minute. Or you're going to the store and you go in there drunk. Or you go wherever you go, you're drunk. Well, it's the same thing the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us. Wherever we go, the Holy Spirit's still there. He's with us. Just like if we were the drunk man, well, the Holy Spirit's with us. Not that we drunk on the Holy Spirit, but that I'm just trying to make an illustration. You know, we don't have a problem seeing a drunk. Wherever we see him, there used to be a man that lived up the road from us, and he was an alcoholic. And you know, you pretty much knew when you saw him, he's going to be drunk. See, the Holy Spirit wants to dominate our life that much. Because we need to understand wherever we go in life, whatever we deal with in life, not just here in church. The Holy Spirit's here right now. You know when He come in here? When you walked in. And He's here, but when you walk out, guess what? He won't be here. It's a hard concept for some people, but that's the way it is. God said, I'm personally going to live in you and be a part of you. But the cost is high. Us to live the life of the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking about living it out. You know it is. You know well as I do how hard it is to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. It's not as easy as sometimes we like for it to be. But God said, the Holy Spirit said, I'll go do my part. I'll go live within them. I'll help them through this life. I'll show them how to live it out. Now, we know the Word of God. Let me ask y'all. Who wrote this? We know men wrote it. We know apostles wrote it. But we know also they were moved by what? The Holy Spirit of God. This is His mind. This is His way of life. This is what He teaches. But with the Holy Spirit in us, He helps us live it out. I can't say enough, but I got to move on. But don't ever think that we can hoodwink or fool or trick the Holy Spirit. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Remember them? They made a big plea to the church, they're going to give us money, right? I'm just going to come up with a figure because they didn't really give a figure. Ananias and Sapphira, they're going to give $10,000 to the church. But the problem was, and nothing wrong with that, they made up their mind to do that, but they decided to keep back a couple thousand. They told the apostles they gave the $10,000, but they kept back a couple thousand. But the problem was, Peter found out. And he goes to me, he says, how much did y'all give? We gave $10,000. You know what? They didn't lie to Peter. You know who they lied to? God, the Holy Spirit. They didn't fool the Spirit. They may have could have fooled the church. They may have could have fooled the men. They may have could have fooled Peter. But they didn't fool the Spirit of God. You know what happened to them? Anybody know? God killed them. Oh, my gosh. God killed them. Now, this ain't Old Testament. This is New Testament. They dropped dead right there in front of everybody, right there in the church. Well, guess what? Wasn't long his wife come in. Old Sapphira. She's a dog, baby. I know she was. And she come in. Peter said, hey, Sapphira, how much did y'all get for the land? So-and-so, 10,000. Guess what happened to her? She dropped dead. Gosh, that's pretty tough, ain't it? It's pretty tough. And Paul said, you've not allowed the Holy Spirit. See, God don't play a game. The Bible says the church grew and the people were great and fearful. They were feared. And it wasn't just it's the kind of fear that they're trying to teach us today in the religious world, that it's respect. No, these people feared God. They just saw two people drop dead. What would we do if... God knows, could happen anytime. What if we drop dead? Somebody here, and we say, you know, hey, now this is showing us how the Holy Spirit, we don't play games with the Holy Spirit. But let me ask you this. Have we ever counted the cost to be a part of the body of Christ? Have you ever counted what it would cost you to be a part of this body, or any body of Christ? Well, let me read this. 1 Peter chapter 4, 8 through 10. It says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold wisdom of God. You know you owe me? I owe you. In the body of Christ, we owe each other something. If nothing else, a high good morning, whatever. I don't know what your gift is, but God expects you to be a part. If you're going to be a part of the body, we ought to be encouragement. We're to be around this table, for one thing. Come together as a group to honor one another. And when I mean that, I mean to help one another along in this fight. You owe that to me. I owe that to you. We're not slackers. We can't be slackers. God said, you are the body of Christ. Act like it. I'm talking to me now, so don't. We serve one another to the best of our ability. Maybe you don't think you do anything, but just walking in that door does something to everybody here. We all owe the body of Christ our support. See, the cost to be a Christian is higher and deeper than some people want to see it. But God is expecting us to unite together, to work together, to build the body of Christ. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Wait a minute. Hold up. I got enough problems. I got enough going on in my life. I don't have time to be involved in your life. I'm sorry. I mean, I'll come here Sunday morning. That's okay. But I got to hurry on out of here. I got to get out. I got things I got to do. I ain't got time to be in your life. No, God said you that we're to be in each other's lives. How do I know how you feel about whatever? Now, I don't mean to be all up in your business trying to figure out how to just tell you how to live and all that as far as your, how much you, where you should live and all that. There's some things we need to keep our nose out of. He's talking about our spiritual lives. I need to know where you at. You say, well, that's an elder job. No, that is true, but it ain't just the elder job. You should know your brother and sister enough to care and to put your life into theirs somewhat. You don't have to be at their house every night. I'm not saying that. But how about prayer? If you can't do nothing else, we could pray for one another. How important. He went on to say, let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also the interest of others. And that one right there is a hard one for all of us because we're so busy people. We are. I mean, I'm busy. I got a little bit more freedom than you do. I agree to that. So I'm not saying that, maybe I should be doing more. I don't know. But I'm just saying God expects us to be supporters. In 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12, therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling. One day we're going to answer to God for our walk in this life. This is our wilderness. We're going to answer for what we've done in this life and fulfill all good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith. Let me read that again. The work of faith. It's a work. Don't tell me we don't have to do anything. It's a work that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. We're here to glorify God. And we know in the book of John it says that the world will know we are his people by the way we love one another. We want to show the world Christ. We do it through the way we handle ourselves with each other. If we fight and bigger and all time have a problem going on between us, that don't show the world anything but same thing they got out there. God said, by the love you show one another, we show you my disciples. It's a cost to walk in the narrow way. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which are you about to suffer. He didn't slack up any and say, it's all good. No, he said, things you're about to suffer. We all going to suffer something in this life. I hope it's for Christ. Indeed, the devil, we got that adversary, don't we? The devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Well, thank God it wouldn't be 10 days. The devil. Have you been in prison lately? You say, no, I ain't ever been in prison. Well, are you sure about that? The devil puts us in prison many times if he gets our mind messed up. He gets things going on and we get negative and we get depressed and all this stuff. And he puts us in this suppression and the mind is put in prison by him where we can't function and do the will of God because this is what he does. But in this case, this church was actually thrown in prison, these people, I believe. But there's another prison. There's a prison outside of prison, if you will. One thing that God said here, though, he said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a what? A crown of life. My question to you and to me is, is this going to be worth our walk? To go through whatever that we have to go through in this life, whatever prison we have to be in, whatever situation that we live in, what the sickness, the health, or whatever, just our persecution, whatever comes our way, is it going to be worth hanging in there for Christ? Yes, it will. We want to make sure that we build our lives, because we started building. I'll tell you when you start building. When you go in this baptistry. We all been there, I'm hoping. And if you hadn't been, we're going to have that invitation right after when we sing this song. But I'm here to tell you, once you get into Christ, then we start building. But I would say this, don't start building if you're not counting the cost. And then quit. Because you know why? The Bible says you're worse off than you were before. We want to get our life right. We get into the baptistry. We come out of there with the Holy Spirit in our life that we just talked about. He comes into our life to help us through this walk. And once that happens, it's an ongoing ordeal. Will it be 2 years of your life? You live and you die? 5 years? Don't make no difference. Whatever length of time you live, you're going to stay in the walk. Thank God for repentance. Because I know many times we don't always add up, do we? But you know what? God is there to help us too. Y'all like to stand? Philippians tells us to work out our salvation.